So, final presentation is by Adrian Rifkin, and I've been given very strict instructions to limit my introduction to that. And Adrian will explain a little bit about what he's going to do. Yes. So please sit.
I make these pieces now, which are PowerPoints, which are mad PowerPoints. I don't read out normally what's on the screen. Sometimes I say nothing, I just sit with my back to the audience, and they read it. And when I think they've finished, then I press the button.
That's it.
But in this case, there's a lot of writing, and I think with different language approaches, it's best if I do one of my other approaches, which is to have an argument with the PowerPoint. So you read what you can, and I'll get cross with it. I haven't seen it before myself. I made them quite quickly and I forget it. So I haven't seen it yet. So this is the first time I'm seeing it. I just want to say to begin with that for me, when I first came across Tagore, I was trying to get a friend today to make a combined German word for me, which would be something like snobbish upper class art lovers, and put it all in one word. And she said to me the best thing was he was a Burger Bildung. That was Burger Bildung. Bildungsbürgerlich. Because all the people in England who like Tagore were upper class English art people, Bildungsbürgerliche art teachers. Hey, Tagore. And they were my enemy. So Tagore was my. In Germany, they were my enemy, so I hated Tagore. So I made this piece, which is to do with that, and it's to do with Berlin as well. I thought, seeing we're in Berlin, this should have something to do with Berlin. But also, as Andreas rightly pointed out, none of us are really, some of us are, but on the English side, we're not Tagore scholars. And this reminded me of something important that the English film theorist Paul Willimon once said to me. He said, I've been invited for the first time to Taiwan, and they've asked me to speak on English cinema, not to Taiwan, to Korea. And they've asked me to speak on British cinema, and I've refused. I've said, I will only go if I can speak on Korean cinema, because I know nothing about it. And you speak to me on English cinema, and then between us we'll find out what we don't know. And I feel very much like that with Tagore. But in the last presentation, with the wonderful recitations, has come across something I've been working on just for myself recently, which is this whole myth of the Indo-European mother tongue and the role of Sanskrit in that. And what your very beautiful pronunciations were like, but what those 19th century linguists did. Mm-hmm. They went through Sanskrit, Greek, modern languages, and from vowel sounds, they could produce the consonants of the lost, never-heard Indo-European mother tongue. That it had these five consonants, which became all the vowels we have now. And it's completely speculative. It's like, not more speculative than black holes, and totally racist. And that was the context in which Tagore first came into London. Okay. Slide one. Slide two. Rabindranath. You know about Rabindranath Sangeet? Rabindranath Sangeet is all the songs people made out of all his work. And when I started working on this, I wanted to know, where do I stand? What can I say? Where can I work from? So I said, I'll reread a novel, and I'll see how many times Rabindranath is mentioned in this novel, and that will be my work, to explain all these occurrences. So I reread a novel I love by Vikram Seth, A Suitable Boy, a 950-page novel about India, and that was my work. I read it and I noted down every time Rabindra Sangeet, Rabindra blah blah blah, came in, and then that was my work. And what you see is that no one is in control of their own production. Where's the cursor gone, this wretched man? Come on.
Huh?
No, I want the cursor.
Slideshow.
No, I just want
I think the arrow.
How could anyone listen to that sickly music of Tagore? How could anyone put up with it? How can people listen to that when they have the great classical music, the sickly music of Tagore? And this is what he meant by the music you should listen to. This is the right kind of music. Talk about was something that's about moving from left to right and right to left. Links, rechts, rechts, links. We all have to do it all of our lives, on the road, in our politics, wherever we go, we have this problem, left to right and right to left. And it gets stuck with east to west and west to east. And it gets stuck inside cities, and it gets stuck globally, and it gets stuck super globally, left to right, right to left, east to west to east. And sometimes it's just within that distance that it's left to right, right to left. So I thought about that. And I thought, where were the Tagores? Well, the thing is, Tagore's great-grandfather, I think, was very scholarly, and he wrote left to right, right to left, which meant he did Arabic script, and he did Urdu script, and he did Bengali script, all of them. He did them all, which meant that, in some ways, he was, in his own life, seeing what would happen with the partition. When India would be split up, left to right, right to left, east to left, to get stuck, I'll hyperventilate, and everyone would have to write in one direction to show where they belonged. So he did it. He wrote from left to right and from through to... And so did Bach. Left to right, right to left. So we have something in common, east to west, west to east. And Ezra Pound, all those guys in England, they began by loving Tagore. Ezra Pound said that Tagore's Sanskrit was like the best Greek. W.B. Yeats said that he was like the poet, the Provençal poets of the Middle Ages. That's why they loved him. But once he became his own man, they dropped him. They dropped him stone dead. He went too far to the east, perhaps, and they went far too far to the right. So here's Rabindranath singing for himself. And here's more of the wrong kind of music, because this is Santali YouTube in our own day. shame you. Now I'm going to come back to it. Some of you will recognize it, some of you won't. It's a very important tree in the history of Berlin, but you two won't let us see it. Not you two, but Google Earth will let us see it. So we'll come back to it. I promise we'll come back to this tree, because my paper is about trees, it's about songs, but it's about trees and songs and left to right and east to west with trees and songs. So we have plenty of trees and plenty of songs. Well, you know who he is, don't you? You all know he is. You're all good Berliners here.
Yes.
He's your hero. Yes. He's your god.
They don't know.
It's Magnus Hirschfeld. And he went to meet Rabindranath, and the meeting lasted 20 minutes. And Rabindranath said, "I'm not feeling well," and he left the room. So that was Rabindranath, it seems, was very sensitive to the plight of women. If you see Charulata, a ray, you see that. You see that looking out. But Rabindranath could not see the dritte Geschlecht. He couldn't see what would happen in the world. And it's up to us to say that. It's up to us to say that meeting of Magnus and Rabindranath, it was a miss, but we still live on. And there's a young man wearing a Hirschfeld medal at the end of the day. But now let's get serious, because the Nazis destroyed Magnus Studio. They destroyed it, and that's Magnus Studio. But the British fucked India time and time and time again, and Marx said it. Do you remember who Marx was? Karl Marx? He was a street just up there. I think he must have lived in East Berlin before the war came down. Otherwise they wouldn't have a street for him. And Marx said that the British fucked everything in India. He said that in 1851. That they fucked the industry, they fucked the agriculture, they fucked everything. Just like they wrecked his office. So we've got something else in common, east to west. And that's the victors of Amritsar, the massacre of Amritsar, when Rabindranath gave back his life to the British state. And you can see it's British soldiers and Gurkhas, it's British soldiers and the Quislings. So you can, and that's still going on in our country today. Oh, the Gurkhas must have better pensions. So let's just cross that out now. And try to forget the field of Amritsar and Magnus' office and carry on. Hirschfeld, actually, he said something quite nice about Tagore. He said he resembles a painting by Hubert von Herkover. That's not Tagore, but it is a portrait by Hubert von Herkover. And this is what Magnus said. He said, Tagore looks like a painting by Herkover. He's way of doing these veils and glazes, almost disappearing white. So there it is. There's Rabindranath looking at how Magnus thought he looked. And Edward Carpenter, the great founder of British queer politics, he too met Rabindranath. He met him on the same ticket as Yeats and Pound. He was attracted to Eastern mysticism. He was attracted to something beyond Western sexuality. And he thought he might have found it Rabindranath. But he didn't. And that's not sad either. It's just another of those little misses in history that they got together and nothing came of it. And Ian Forster met him too. Ian Forster, where did Ian Forster meet him? He met him in a living room in London, a living room like the one you see him sitting in there. He didn't meet him in India, he met him in Hampstead. I think that's very important. And Ian Forster is there, taking interest in something, and you can see how he's dressed. Ian Forster did understand the Britain is left, and he did understand how to go native, and he understood how to process these things east to west and left to right through his homosexuality. Here's another carpenter who met Rabindranath. He didn't meet Rabindranath, but he fell under his spell. And before the First World War, he set Gitanjali to music. And this is what it sounds like. In this way, Rabindranath, whether he wanted to or not, became a part of mainstream Western modernism in music. So that's a translation. You come back to it. It's a translation. It's a translation of Rabindranath into early, just about to become eternal Western music. You can't. It enters into the circulation of life. Look what this person did with Gitanjali. They put it on. That's bouquets. It's for nice garden signs. And there are passages from Gitanjali to advertise bouquets, to advertise new plants for your garden. And there, but I won't put you through it again, is Kanchan wakes there. Well, he doesn't like it. So he Now you can't read that at all and not deny it. But do you know what that tree is behind there? That's in Palestine. It's called the Tree of Mamre. And it's the tree where it is supposed in the Old Testament Abraham met the three messengers from God and offered them hospitality. It's a kind of important tree in the history of Western, the history of actually Hindu religion and Christian religion too, because the three messengers who came to meet Abraham at the tree were turned by St. Paul. We're getting a long way around now, right to left, left, up and down. They were turned by St. Paul into the Trinity. That's the origins of the Trinity. And the great thing about Abraham, as a little Jew we can now forget, was that he foresaw the Trinity. That's kind of colonialism too. It's taking over someone else's religion and saying, But it's one of the reasons why all those guys were interested in Tagore and in Hinduism, because of the Hindu Trinity. And you could compare the Hindu Trinity of the main gods with our Trinity. And it passed into Indian culture too. Andrei Rublev and Jyoti Sahi both painted trees and trinities. There's an ancient Russian icon. And here's not the Trinity of Jyoti Sahi, but one of his paintings with plenty of trees in it. There's Jesus with trees. Or are they crosses? Who knows? We won't bother. But I don't know if you've ever seen the work of Ravi Mahoe, the Lebanese artist. And he's shown us that these are deep truths. When people get together in photographs after their deaths, when their photographs migrate from one site to another, and people who never in my life met meet in a photograph, and they're both in the same photograph, it's not a montage, it's the afterlife of photographs. That's what Ravi has taught us. And I thought, well, that's good then, because I can arrange these meetings too. Let's make people meet each other who I always wanted to meet. Let's see what happens if we try to make Oh! No, no, I'm not there yet. We'll get there, we'll get there, we'll get there. What do I say? It's really pretentious. It's about involutions of home and the world being just about anywhere, of pre-post-colonial figures getting ahead of the theory that will succeed them. So Rabindranath, in a way, had already undone the theory that was to comment on him, which is why he's so important for people like Gayatri Spivak. And tunes and trees and east. So let's see what could happen if we let him drift a little. There it is. Why not? Why shouldn't he meet Josephine Baker? I'd like him to have met Josephine Baker. They were both fucked up by Western culture in more or less the same kind of way. They both had to found educational institutes. They both had to adopt children.
Absolutely.
They both had to sing for their supper. It's very important. You heard Rabindranath singing for his supper. Here's Josephine. This comes back.
Jade.
Mon pays est Paris. We can go east to west, left to right, and we can't quite tell where that one is.
But you can also go here.
Nice pitch.
What happens if everything that happens if the Asians Love Foundation singing naturalized songs? There is a new configuration of the guest. What do we do? This is music coming from London about the naturalized. So it's right to left, and it's west to east and east to west. It's a month. Let's live with it. But then I wanted to come back to that tree. So here's the last tree. The last song, but not the last slide, because the last slide belongs to our project. Do you know this song? If you don't, you should be ashamed of yourself. But enjoy it while you have the chance.
Die Pappel vom Karlsplatz. Eine Pappel steht am Karlsplatz, mitten in der Prager Stadt Berlin. Und wenn Leute gehen über den Karlsplatz, sehen sie ihr freundlich grün. In dem Winter 46 flogen die Menschen und das Holz war rar. Und es fielen damals viele Bäume und es war ihr letztes Jahr. Doch die Pappel dort am Karlsplatz zeigt uns heute noch ihr grünes Blatt. Seid bedankt, Anwohner vom Karlsplatz, dass man sie noch immer hat. Dass man sie noch immer hat.
You agree.
Okay, we'll settle for that.